Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to a special edition of the movie show on Monkeys Fighting Robots. I, Tanya, starring Margot Robbie, hits theaters nationwide this week. And here to talk about the film are producers Brian Unkless and Tom Ackerley. Brian and Tom, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, appreciate it.
Your film, I, Tanya, starring Margot Robbie, gets a nationwide release tomorrow, January 5th. Can you help the general audience get a better understanding of what your roles were as producers?
Well, as producers, we kind of oversee the project from pretty much from the beginning to the end. Stephen Rogers wrote this script on his own, on spec, and went and interviewed Tanya and Jeff, and they wrote a great script that we then came on to oversee. So basically, we helped him develop the script. We then went and attached Craig Gillespie, the director, and casted it with obviously Margot and Allison Janney and Sebastian Stan and Paul Walter Hauser, and then helped pull the movie together with financing. So ultimately, it was the financing company AI out of London that paid for the movie, and then we were on production, and then we overseed post, which is really just with Tatiana Riegel, our editor, just helping to make sure that it stayed on track and that was the best version of the movie that it could be.
As producers, do you measure success differently?
You obviously go into any project wanting to make the best movie you could possibly make, and everything that comes out of that is just a knock-on effect. And obviously, you know, we look at it from a multifaceted point of view, and we want to make movies that make money, are commercially successful, but also great movies with a great message behind them. And that's all you can ask for, really. But you just go into it wanting to make the best movie that you could possibly make, I think. Brian, would you agree?
I would, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was really, you kind of take it one day at a time as a producer, and you're dealing with the day-to-day issues and making sure that everything continues as smooth a course as possible. And what is important for us as producers on this one was that the humor and the energy and the kind of outrageous spirit of the screenplay made its way up onto the screen, and also that some of the underlying ideas didn't get diluted. The discussion about feminism, about class, about the media cycle, you know, we wanted to make sure that was made its way into the final product.
And Brian, you mentioned the interview process of interviewing Tanya Harding and Jeff Galuli and Tanya Harding's mother. And in the film, they recreate these, basically the interviews that are in the film are recreations of those interviews?
Yeah. See, so Stephen flew himself up to Oregon and got extensive interviews with both with Tanya and Jeff. And what he noticed is how wildly contradictory these versions of the story were. And he thought that was the access point for telling this story. Because then suddenly it doesn't become about the truth of what happened. The truth is somewhere in between and lost within the different perspectives. And it becomes about what we tell ourselves happened, or how time changes different people's perspectives, and it just felt like a much more interesting way to tell this story.
And I, Tanya, is a special film. At what point in the process did you guys realize you had something special?
I think it comes, I think it comes down to script, and we all read an amazing script with an amazing story, and it was tragic and beautiful and hilarious and absurd and moving. And I think, you know, we knew that this story that we made was on that page, and like Brian said earlier in the call, it was about taking every day as it comes, and little milestones throughout the entire movie making process with such great achievements. The, you know, when we got all the cast, when we had that first day on set, and you know, our first day on set was all of Margot's interview for Tonya, sitting in front of the camera, and it was such a, you know, this entire set was quiet as she did this knockout performance. And I just remember looking at Brian, it was just such an amazing moment. And then, you know, when you go into the, finish the shoot, and the first time we all got to watch the movie for the first time, and you know, I think it was tears of joy. But the movie was always there on the page, and I think from the moment we read that script, we knew we could make it.
Yeah, it's funny, like, as producers, a big part of the job is to listen. And the first time we sat down with Craig Gillespie and just let him talk about the movie that he saw, that was an exciting moment, because you could start to connect the dots. And then there's so many steps along the way, like Tom was saying. For me, watching Margot be Tonya in that first camera test was jaw-dropping. I mean, she just completely nailed it from the very beginning, and that was really exciting. And then the other time that was really, for me, a noteworthy one was the first time we tested how we were going to shoot the skating. And the idea that you could actually get in there and shoot skating from up close and not from the side of the rink like you're so used to, and really feel the energy and the kind of the attitude that goes into those skate performances. It looks so graceful, but it's far from it. That was really, really fun. And then, of course, Allison Janney, when she stepped into her role as LaVonna, we knew that was going to be something that everyone would remember.
I'm looking at my questions, and everything you just stated is a question later on and everything. But first, you know, writer Stephen Rogers, he made me care about Tonya Harding, and I, Tonya, is being called a dark comedy. And part of me thinks that this is an injustice, because this movie is emotionally heavy. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. I think that what was always something that Tom and I talked about from the beginning was, how do we capture this tone? Because this movie has moments that are laugh out loud funny, and then within the same minute, we'll pivot to something that is devastating and really almost difficult to watch. And how do we have those two moments live in the same space? A lot of that was Craig's vision. It was obviously, the foundation of it was set with Stephen. But Craig really has an understanding of tone and how to make it all feel cohesive. And what he doesn't make the decision for the audience in his direction. He allows the audience to kind of make their own connections. And so some people have one reaction, other people have the others. But he is very kind of generous in the idea that, you know, an audience can bring what they will to it. So that was something that was important to us. So it is devastating, and it is hard to watch at times, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have to be funny. And it's hopefully a little bit of everything.
I think the tone of this movie is such a tightrope, and with Craig, we found the one in a million person that can walk that tightrope, and it could very easily have gone off in either direction. And I think what we had that was so special with this movie, and so honestly unique to movie making, is between Brian, myself, Margot, Stephen, the writer, and Craig, the director, we all saw the movie in the same way. And, you know, we never wanted to point the fingers at these characters. And the actors all understood that these characters were real people. And the situations they find themselves in might be funny, but ultimately it's a real story we're telling. And I think everyone understood that from the start.
And you guys have mentioned the director, Craig Gillespie, a few times. And I, Tonya is a 180 compared to his previous film, The Finest Hours. And you mentioned, like, how you guys film skating that was different. There were so many different aspects. I mean, I watched this movie this morning, and like, just breaking down the different elements of the filmmaking, like, he like nailed it. I'm like an athlete. Like, I was like, he brought like his MVP performance with all he put together. So why don't you talk about what he brought to the table?
I think with Craig, he made Lars and the Real Girl earlier on in his career, and that was a very similar tone and a very similar balance of movie making, and we kind of were wondering if he would go back to that. And like Brian said, the first moment we got to sit down with Craig and he told us the vision of the movie, we knew he got it and we knew he understood it. And he came at, you know, we talked about tone earlier, but he came at the tone by saying exactly how he was going to shoot it and what music choices he was going to cut to. And like Brian said earlier, let the audience make the decision. So not cut to certain shots where you would normally cut to them to get a comical response or an emotional response, actually leaving that slightly wider and letting the audience react to it. And it was just such a great first meeting. And I think Craig has done so many commercials throughout his career that he really is a technical master. Like he can do any element or any aspect of movie making, and he just knew which lane he wanted to with this movie, and that's the lane he took it. And he had a great crew surrounding him, and he very much got them all on board with that vision.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing that he brought to it first and foremost was a sense of momentum and energy. It has in style. The camera moves, and because of that, it kind of cuts against many, you know, traditional biopic tropes. Right, this feels much more, hopefully, like a piece of cinema, and really takes chances with not only with its storytelling, but particularly his direction and the way he pushes the camera from one scene to the next. So we felt really good, and he did this on a schedule that was incredibly demanding, because, you know, anytime you're doing indie cinema, you're like backed into a budgetary box. And so the fact that he could bring as much style and energy to the movie on the schedule that he had is really pretty remarkable.
And I was blown away by how much abuse Margot Robbie took in the film as Tonya Harding. How hard is that on an actor to get into those scenes and then just get their head smashed into a mirror?
I think, you know, obviously Mo is the consummate professional, and she comes at each scene being so well prepared. And, you know, obviously we're helped with stunts and everything, but we weren't the kind of movie that could afford to spend hours perfecting those shots. They really are as visceral and real as you see them. And I think the challenge for Marco on this one was we had such a short shooting schedule. She would have to jump from different emotions and different scenes instantly, and I've never ever seen anyone do it the way she did it. I mean, in one day she would be ice skating, she would be playing 15-year-old Tonya, she would be playing 44-year-old Tonya, and she would have to have these scenes of domestic violence all wrapped into one and take herself through that journey. And when you balance those different dialects and that different body and that different behavioral instinct, I think it must be such an emotional journey for her. And I think the way she did it is being the most prepared I think I've ever seen anyone be on a set and really come at every scene from an emotional grounding, if that makes sense. And it was a really remarkable thing to watch.
I mean, the thing that is even more impressive is that while she was doing all of the, you know, preparation for her performance, and like Tom says, a performance that is very nuanced, she was also, you know, preparing to do all of the skating as well. And so she started on something 4 or 5 months before we started production, training to be a skater of this caliber. And a lot of that skating in the movie is actually Margot. She's so detail-oriented and meticulous about just completely replicating Tonya's routines from the 80s into the 90s. And so it was pretty amazing that she could work on both levels, that she was ready both physically but also from a performance perspective.
Award season is coming up, and your film is generating a ton of buzz. If you can only give one award to I, Tonya, outside of Best Picture, what would it be?
That's a good one. You're gonna get us in trouble.
I know, you gotta pick a favorite.
You gotta pick sides.
You know what? I don't think we could single out one one award. I would say this. I think it's unfortunate, just the way that the film industry works, that the actors and directors and you know, get so much focus. I mean, it's very deserved, but real movie making and filmmakers know that none of that is possible without so much work from such a huge crew. And there are people on this movie that are like such unsung heroes. I mean, for instance, our camera operator, our Steadicam operator, you know, just the fact that he was able to skate as gracefully as he was and get in there and execute on those scenes for the skating. And we were incredibly fortunate to have him as part of our team, and we couldn't have made this movie without him. And you look at, you know, all the way down into the people who were so meticulous about our costume design and our production design. And this isn't just the people that are the heads of departments. These are all of the staff underneath them that all care so much. And so I know that's a little bit kind of cheesy, but it's true. I mean, we had a great group of people that worked on everybody bled for this movie. And so I wish we could better celebrate everybody that helped us make this.
I think that's the that's the perfect answer. I think that works. That works. Tom, Margot Robbie has influenced a generation with her role as Harley Quinn in the DC Cinematic Universe. From your perspective, how has this franchise role influenced her?
I think understanding, I don't know if anyone really knows going into something like that how much of an influence they will become to a generation of people. And I think, you know, watching her take that on and grow with that has been so remarkable and yeah, become a role model to people. And I think she does such a phenomenal job at that and, you know, doesn't let that pressure cloud her or change her or adapt her behavior in any way. And she just gets up in the morning and goes to work and tries to be the best that she can be in everything she does. And, you know, back to what Brian was saying, she is so meticulous in everything she does and so exact and so well prepared. And, you know, she, when talking about Tonya, she not only did all that acting, but she also produced the movie on the side. So when she would step off that set, she would then catch up with Brian and myself and do all of that work that she had to do and increase her day length by 4 to 5 hours just to stay on top of what she had to do and get done. And it's just such a remarkable thing. And I don't think there's many people in the world that can have that work ethic and that professional like style. And she's only 27 years old. And it's something so remarkable to watch.
Do you know when she's going to reprise the role of Harley Quinn?
I tell no lie, I am so out of that world, and I, you know, purposely try and stay out of it. I don't, to be honest. You know,
no,
as you probably saw in the trades, that DC have just got a new guy in, and hopefully that will see things moving quickly. But I don't know, to be honest.
That's perfectly fine. Brian, you were also a producer on Netflix's Bright. What are your expectations for the sequel?
Yeah, we're excited. We already had so many ideas as to where we wanted to go with the story. And if you've seen the first one, you know that there's the one thing that it really excels at is establishing a completely new world with all sorts of different characters and groups of people. And so we really are excited to dive in. David Ayer is going to be writing this script. And it's going to be a lot more bigger in scope, which will be pretty fun. Well, of course, we still are bringing back Will and Jewel, and the movie will be anchored in their central dynamic. But we couldn't be happier with the results of the movie and how it did on the Netflix platform. They're such supportive partners, and just really excited to dive into this new one.
And with like indie films like I, Tonya, and we talk about Netflix's Bright, one of the kind of things that were going around conversation-wise is that Bright was getting panned because it wasn't a traditional movie in a theater. Do you have any feelings on that?
look, you know, I think that we're in a really interesting place with our industry, where hopefully Bright moves the needle in a good way, where we have more places to create big original content. And if it's streaming on Netflix, from a producerial perspective, we're thrilled. We just want to go and make great stories. And it was so fun to be able to take an original story that is not IP-driven and go and make it in a big way. That's so rare these days. And so I'm so thankful for Netflix to give us the opportunity and the resources to do that and the creative support. And then continue on and make more. And it seems to have really paid off for them. And so I'm excited by that. The reaction from critics and from, you know, filmmakers is something that I can't really focus on right now, because we just want to make our story the best we can. And it's like, I think that we'll see as 4 or 5 years will probably be a very different landscape than it is right now. But, right now, I'm just focusing on making the second movie and continuing to try to build this for the many fans out there that seem to have really loved it.
Now, on creativity alone, Bright is the reason why I give Netflix money. Like, I want to see more creative ideas and storytelling, and I love that Netflix is kind of putting this together. And I'm very excited that it got greenlit for a sequel, and I'm very excited about I, Tonya, because I think that's going to open up some eyes on filmmaking alone itself. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. That was awesome.
Yeah. Appreciate it. I hope you guys like it out there. Really appreciate your time.
That was Brian Unkles and Tom Ackerley. I, Tonya is in theaters now. Check out our review on monkeysfightingrobots.com. This concludes our special edition of the comic show on Monkeys Fighting Robots. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the interview, comment, review, and subscribe. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.
Pretzel crust fans rejoice because it's back. By popular demand, Little Caesar's large, soft pretzel crust pizza featuring a creamy cheddar cheese sauce, pepperoni, and a four cheese blend, surrounded by a delicious salted soft pretzel crust for just $6. Hot and ready every day between 4 and 8, and only $6 from the home of pretzel crust pizza, Little Caesar's.
Pizza at participating locations plus tax.